This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
Mr. Johnson, a businessman from Wisconsin, went on a business trip to Louisiana. He immediately sent an email back to his wife, Jean. Unfortunately, he mistyped a letter on the email, and it ended up going to Mrs. Joan Johnson. Not Jean Johnson, but Joan Johnson, the wife of a preacher who had just passed away. So this is a preacher's wife, and her husband just passed away. And the preacher's widow took one look at the email and promptly fainted. When she was revived, she nervously pointed to the message, which read, "Arrived safely, but it sure is hot down here." Did you find Genesis chapter 17 yet? If you haven't, just look off on your neighbor's Bible there. I want to share with you something today that's vitally important that we know about, and it is the covenant relationship that we have with God. You and I, as Christians, are in covenant relationship with Him. Covenant means binding agreement. And it also says in, I think it's Ephesians chapter 2, around verse 14, it says that those who are without God are aliens to the covenants of promise, strangers to the commonwealth of Israel. They are without God. They have no covenant. So if you're not born again today, reach out, make Jesus the Lord of your life, and you will now have a binding agreement, a covenant with Almighty God. In Genesis 17, it tells us about Abraham entering into a covenant with God. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to make you into a mighty nation." At this, Abram fell on his face in the dust. Then God said to him, "This is my covenant with you." Not somebody else's covenant, not a contract. No, this is a covenant. This is much more significant than a contract. It cannot be broken. My covenant with you. I will make you the father of not just one nation, but a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will be no longer Abram. Now you will be known as Abraham. Abraham means father of many nations. For you will be the father of many nations. I will give you millions of descendants who will represent many nations. Kings will be among them. I will continue this everlasting covenant. What's everlasting mean? It means it's going to last forever. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you're in an everlasting covenant? It will continue between me and your offspring forever. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Yes, I will give you all this land of Canaan to you and to your offspring forever. And I will be their God. Now he says, now here's your part, Abraham. Your part of this agreement, God told Abraham, is to obey the terms of the covenant. You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility. This is the covenant that you and your descendants must keep. You got to obey it. You got to keep it. Each male among you must be circumcised. The flesh of his foreskin must be cut off. This will be a sign that you and they have accepted this covenant. Well, how many of you know today in the New Testament, it's different. It's not circumcision of the flesh. It's a circumcision of your heart. So whether you're circumcised or not in the flesh, it doesn't matter. No, is your heart circumcised? Are you born again? Do you have a divine nature? Are you in union with Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. Every male child must be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. This applies not only to the members of your family, but also to the servants born in your household and the foreign-born servants whom you have purchased. All must be circumcised. Your bodies will thus bear the mark of my everlasting covenant. Anyone who refuses to be circumcised will be cut off from the covenant family for violating the covenant. So God says there's got to be some shedding of blood to enter into this covenant. You know, the Bible says life, the life is in the blood. How many know the life, your life is in your blood? And so he said there must be shedding of blood, else there's no remission of sins. So to consummate this covenant with Abraham, every Jewish person had to be circumcised. And once again, we're New Testament people. We just have to have our hearts circumcised. Amen. All right? So the ladies are included in that. All right? Okay. So we're all children of God because of the shedding of blood. But then in Genesis 15, God, and I'll just paraphrase this, but God told Abraham, I want you to get some animals because there was a consummation of this covenant with the shedding of animal blood back then. Not today for us, but back then it was. And so he had to get a heifer. He had to get a ram. He had to get a goat. He had to get, and I listed all of them here, he had to get a pigeon, a turtle dove, and he actually sacrificed all of them. Okay, a heifer, ram, goat, turtle doves, and pigeons. And he sacrificed them. What he did was God told him specifically to cut each one of these animals in half, or birds or whatever it was, cut it in half. And put one half over here on an altar and the other half over here in an altar. And then, can you picture that now? You got half the sacrifice here, half the sacrifice there. This was a pathway of blood. And so now God's going to have Abram walk between those sacrifices. And it says there in 15 verse 17, it says, as the sun went down and it became dark, Abram saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So Abraham looked, and it was kind of he was almost like in a trance, so to speak. The presence of God, the glory of God was there, and he sees this torch. He sees a fire pot and a flaming torch. Supernatural event from God. And this torch would pass between the two halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abraham that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River. So there was the shedding of animal blood. There was the shedding of human blood at circumcision. But all of that we know, you and I know, is just a foreshadowing that's pointing to Jesus, a type and a shadow of what our Savior did at Calvary's cross, right? Because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. His blood was shed to consummate a new and better covenant. He ratified a new covenant for you and me, a better covenant in his own blood. Amen. Glory to God. So we have what Abraham had, but we also have better than Abraham had. A new and better covenant. You remember he said one time in the Bible, he says, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of heaven, meaning born again, is greater than he. That doesn't mean we did anything better than John the Baptist. It simply means we're ratified, we're forgiven, we've got the new birth, all right? We're new creations in Christ. Amen. And so he that is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. You say, you mean I'm greater than John the Baptist? Because you have the new birth, because you're washed in the blood. That's why we're greater than John the Baptist. So in Luke, in Hebrews chapter 9, I don't know if you have that yet, Hebrews chapter 9, and beginning with verse 12, it says, Hebrews 9, 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Everybody say his own blood. That's Jesus' blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Only one time. Back in the Old Testament, it had took multiple. Every year they had to offer up sacrifices. The shedding of animal blood. But this only took one shedding of blood, and that was Jesus once and for all to obtain eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. See, these animal sacrifices only purify people to the flesh. But I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus is much more powerful, and it cleansed us clear to our spirit, man. Amen. Not just the flesh, but clear to our spirit, man. And I'll prove it to you because it says right here, how much more shall the blood of Christ, verse 14, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience. Where's your conscience? Down in your spirit. Purged your conscience through and through. Jesus internalized our sin that we might internalize his righteousness. Now you have right standing with Almighty God. And you can go into his presence by this precious blood. Purified your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And this for this cause, he is the mediator of a new testament, a new covenant.
Glory.
That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Hallelujah. Part of your covenant is an eternal inheritance made brand new. You can start afresh, glory to God.
Amen.
And in that covenant, you have many, many assurances. In fact, our point number one today, you can put that up there if you will. Point number one today is we are in a covenant relationship with Almighty God. What was the sacrifice? What was the shed blood? Jesus was the Lamb that... the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And you and I are now washed because of this blood, his blood, shed on Calvary's cross. And now we have assurance that in a covenant relationship that all things, everything that he has is yours. Doesn't the Bible say all things that pertain to life and godliness are yours? Didn't he say in Romans 8:32, he that spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him? Everybody say with him.
With him.
Freely give us all things.
Amen.
With him, with his sacrifice, he freely gives us all things. You're going over, you're not going under. I said you're the head and not the tail.
Amen.
You're above only and not beneath.
Amen.
You're blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Blessed in your basket, blessed in your store. Glory to God.
Amen.
You say, am I really blessed? I want to be blessed. No, you're already blessed.
Amen.
Ephesians 1:3 says, he hath, H-A-T-H means it's already done. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I said, you is blessed.
Amen.
Thank God. In Galatians, it says in verse 9, so then they which are of faith, how many are of faith in here? Faith in Jesus, right? You're of faith, are blessed with faithful Abraham. It doesn't say you're going to be blessed. It says you are blessed. Can I hear a louder amen?
Amen.
Everybody say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
So if you say, God, please bless me. No, you need to say, thank you, Father. I am already blessed. That's how you receive it, by acknowledging what he has already done at Calvary's cross. You are blessed of faithful Abraham. Glory to God. So the covenant assures us that the lights will stay on, right? There we go. Lights, come on. And what does that mean? That means that El Shaddai hears your prayers.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
It means that he will dispatch the angels of Almighty God on your behalf.
Amen, Pastor.
To bring in what you need.
Amen.
That means we have the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's much needed in this last day.
Amen.
And if you get it, you'll see a transformation like Rachel had.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want all that God's got for me.
Amen.
I want the Holy Ghost. I want the full nine yards. How about you?
Amen, brother.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I encourage you before you leave today, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, say, Pastor, pray for me. I want the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because I need it in these last days. Hallelujah. How about the favor of God? Whoa. Brother Fred's preaching, teaching on that. You may be sure to go to that class after church today. Brother Fred and a couple other guys coming up are going to teach on that in this room back here. So be sure to stay after church and feed on that, because the Bible tells us in Psalm 5, 11, and 12 that we have the favor of Almighty God.
There you go.
Health is yours. Longevity is yours.
Amen.
That's part of your covenant. A sound mind is part of your covenant. Woo! You don't have to be flaky.
Amen.
Huh? Hear about the young man who had just gotten his driver's permit and his father had agreed to take him out in the family car for practice. The son opened the driver's door and got in the car. His father opened the back door and got in the car. Dad, said the lad, aren't you going to sit up front with me? No, said the dad. I'm going to do what you've done for the past 15 years. I'm going to sit behind you and kick the seat. How many know he gives us a sound mind?
Amen.
The Bible tells us that in 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not giving you a spirit of fear, which is the root of many problems. Fear is the root of many issues, many emotional problems.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So get to the root of it. Cast out that spirit of fear.
Amen.
What's he give you? Power, love, and a sound mind. What's a sound mind? It's a disciplined mind. I keep forgetting I'm not preaching to the Wednesday crowd. Wednesday, we've been teaching a series on maintain your sanity in an insane world.
Yeah,
we finished four series on it. I don't know if there'll be a fifth one or not, but you need to get a hold of those. Maintaining your sanity in a crazy world. Well, we need that for the last times, don't we? End times. But sound mind is part of your covenant promise, your inheritance. You don't have to be manic, depressive, paranoid, schizophrenic, delusional, panic attacks. No, they're gone because of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'll say it again. We are in a covenant with Almighty God.
Amen.
Glory to God. You have access to healing, deliverance, provisional miracles.
Amen.
And he'll set you free.
Amen.
And how about this one as a part of the covenant? You have a guarantee that when that trumpet sounds and Jesus comes back, you're going in the first load.
Glory.
Woo! Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, the neat thing about this is the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. God does not change. Well, Pastor, will that covenant still be active or functioning in the end times? Psalm 89 answers that for us. Psalm 89 and verse 30 says, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my statutes or my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him. You know, God loves us unconditionally, but it doesn't mean you're going to get blessed if you're going to live in sin. No, he loves you unconditionally, but in order to be blessed, you got to walk in light of the word, right?
Amen.
Amen. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, not suffer my faithfulness to fail. God said, I will not allow my faithfulness to fail. Everybody say, he's a faithful God. My covenant, verse 34, my covenant, it's his covenant, my covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. He says, I won't break this covenant. I won't break my promise. Whatever I spoke, I'll fulfill. Why? Because God's word is on it. When God says something, that's law. That's it. He's going to live by it. He's going to make sure that he fulfills it in our lives. Isn't that right? Now, I said a minute ago that a covenant is much more significant than just a contract. Do you know that Native Americans and people down in Africa, the deepest parts of Africa, would enter into what they called a blood covenant relationship? Brother James Copper, come on up here if you would. A blood covenant relationship. Here's the guy that wrote the book. The devotional book. All right. Now, Here's how they would do that. Now, these are heathen practices. These are heathen rituals. Just stand beside me here. Here's what they'd do. They would take a knife and cut him right there. They would take a knife and cut me right there. And then they would put their two arms together like this to signify a mixing of the blood. Now, it really isn't mixing, but I mean, it signifies a mixing of the blood. And so now you become my blood brother.
Right.
Now, everything that I have is yours. Everything you have is mine. It's a binding relationship. If someone comes and robs you, guess what? I'm going to go after the assailant. And I'm going to get whatever they stole and bring it back to you. Someone tries to hurt you. Well, let's say someone tries to hurt me. You're going to go find that person and duke it out or whatever you have to do. All right? Now, if I have a need, guess what? You're going to fulfill that need. Why? Because we're blood brothers. If he has a need, I'm going to do everything I can to fulfill his need. So his friends become my friends. But by the same token, his enemies become my enemies. And my enemies become his enemies. And we will have a common attack against those who would hurt either one of us. You see what that means? So, thank you, brother. So whatever need you have, that person's going to fulfill it. Now, you remember Abraham and Chedorlaomer? Remember they came and ransacked and took the wives and everyone? And remember Abraham went after and got everything back? Well, it's that kind of a relationship. And see, throughout history, this ritual has been universal among heathen peoples. That's not a Christian thing. Nevertheless, blood covenants were done all over the globe. And God is somewhat like that in that we enter into a blood covenant relationship with him the moment that the blood of Jesus is applied to our lives. You see, God instructed the Jewish people to make blood sacrifices, animal sacrifices, and then, of course, circumcision. And when they did, they'd entered into a covenant with God. But Jesus is our sacrifice. That we enter into this blood covenant relationship. And he provides help against our attackers. Psalm 4:8 says, he alone causes me to dwell in safety.
Amen.
Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, for your righteousness is of me. He will go after the assailant that robs you. He will supply the needs that you have, according to Philippians 4:19. He will look out for and care for you who are in covenant relationship with him. Psalm 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why won't you want? Because he's going to supply all your need. Psalm 37:25 says, he will provide for us. Remember, David says, I was once young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. What's he going to do? He's going to give you miraculous, supernatural provision.
Amen.
Or he's going to do miracles to meet your need or heal you. Remember, the lady was just prayed for last Sunday for a condition of pain and so forth. And by Wednesday morning, she woke up totally pain-free, totally healed. Because why? Because that is in her covenant. Come on, let's praise God for that today. We had in one of our services a word of knowledge that someone was having severe sinus pressure. And when that word of knowledge was spoken, instantly their faith rose and they took hold of that healing. And instantly their sinuses drained and the pressure was gone. This was many years ago, but a guy came in, had damaged his tailbone in a fall. He was in a lot of pain. And God healed him right there.
Amen.
By hearing the word that is life to those who find it and health or healing to all their flesh. And so he was healed of that. One lady had lesions for 15 years. She was prayed for, and they are gone. They were totally gone. One retired pastor had neck pain and back pain. Actually, we prayed for him at his house. And we said, how severe is the pain? He said, it's over 10. It's way over 10. And that's about as much as you can get 10, right? Yeah. We prayed for him. Within 10 minutes, the neck pain was totally gone. The back pain was totally gone. Why? Because he had a covenant with Almighty God. Not because of the works that he did. No, but because of the faith that was in his heart. Amen. According to your faith, so be it done unto you. Yes. Can you shout amen? Amen? So point number one, we have a covenant with Almighty God. Point number two, love makes the covenant effective. Love is the catalyst that makes the covenant work. Why? Because God is love. And his covenant is a covenant of love. And it's going to operate by love. Galatians 5:6 says, faith works by love. So do not sabotage the covenant blessing by walking out of love or losing it or getting angry or getting in the flesh or gossiping or backbiting or getting into hatred or discord or whatever, right? In other words, don't be a nasty dude or a nasty dudess, right? Avoid the works of the flesh. You can turn over there to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, where it lists the works of the flesh. Glory to God. Galatians 5, 19. Hallelujah. Don't nullify the effectiveness of your covenant by getting in the flesh, by getting into anger. Listen, that covenant becomes ineffective when we do this. Here are the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is no restraint, having no restraint in your life, idolatry, worshiping something other than God, witchcraft, hatred, variance, which is strife, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, which is letting loose in rioting. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's revelings. Yeah, seditions, heresies, emulations, by the way, is jealousy and envy and so forth. Verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. What's revelings? That's letting loose rioting. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you do those things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. What are you going to inherit? Hell. So if you did those things, repent. If you got in anger with someone before the service today, just simply repent. Amen. Get right with God. Say, Father, forgive me. I missed it big time. Amen. Amen. Huh? Amen. And how many know walking in love will produce your covenant working at its optimum? That's right. 1 Peter 4:7 says, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. It says, above all things, put on this love, which is the bond of perfectness. Let me read it to you here. 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all these things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Love's going to cover the multitude of sins. Oh, one translation says, love disregards the offenses of others. Now, there's not a person in here that's never been offended. All of us have been offended. But it says here, disregard it. Pay no attention to it. Forget it. Keep on going. Be like Teflon Don. Just let it bounce right off of you. Hallelujah. So think about Jesus when he was interrogated in front of Pilate and those people. He didn't lose it. He didn't retaliate. He didn't call down 12 legions of angels to rescue him. I just recently, well, a couple months ago, got a ticket in Ohio, driving through a small town in Ohio, and the you know how it did it, the light turn is yellow, but then it turns red, and I was still going through the intersection when it was red. I was wrong. Anyhow, first ticket I ever got in my life. So I went home and paid it. It was $243 ticket. But I didn't say, "Oh, I'm a pastor, please forgive me." I didn't play that pastor thing. No. I was wrong, so I took it. And when it was all done, I shook the officer's hand and said, "You're a nice officer." Shook his hand. And anyhow, here I get a notice in the mail. Then later, after we sent the check in, it was a refund for $74. Hallelujah. Maybe that's because I stayed in love. Amen.
Amen.
And so it pays to walk in love. You have the favor of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Favor will work on your behalf. Amen. Now, while you're in Galatians, you were in Galatians. Go to Galatians again. Galatians chapter 5.
And it took your wife walking in love.
And it took my wife walking in love, too. That's right. She was in the car. Yeah, glory to God. Galatians 5:13. So all told, I paid $169 instead of $243. Okay. Where are we? Galatians 5:13. Notice it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the what?
Flesh.
Don't use it for the pleasures of the flesh. All right? But by love, serve one another." We're by love to serve one another. We're to comply with the commandment. James 2:8 talks about a royal law. We must comply with the commandment. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as," or "according as I have loved you."
Amen.
Wow, that's a tall order. To love people as God loves us. It's a new commandment. And what is a commandment? You've heard me say it before. A commandment is something about which there is no retreat.
Right.
Or a commandment is something about which there is no compromise and from which there is no retreat. Did you get that?
Nope.
A commandment is something about which there is no compromise and from which there is no retreat. Oh, you don't know what this person did to me, and you don't know how they... I don't care what it is. Walk in the commandment and watch your covenant work to its optimum.
Amen.
David was not permitted to build the temple. You remember? Because he shed too much blood. He killed Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband. All he was allowed to do was gather the materials. Now he went to Lowe's and Big Lots or Home Depot, and he was able to get the materials, but he was not allowed to build the temple. So, once again, obey the commandment. If you miss it, repent. Get back in there. Amen. The blood of Jesus will cleanse you, forgive you. Glory to God. Let me just read one thing about this love thing. I got all these translations. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. Listen to this one. It's a TPT translation. "Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense." We can all take a hint from that. It's not easily irritated. No. Not love, no. What are you going to do? Pray in tongues. God's given you the Holy Ghost to help you with that. You want to be irritated? Just go, "Sibrako shukolo mahata yevre soma hashike." All right? And it'll help you. Romans 8:26 says it. The Spirit will help our weaknesses, right? That's what I do.
Right.
If I want to give someone a shot and punch them, whoop, "Father, semote shikila bahaya mene sofrondon ko shikila mai." Ha ha ha. If I ever get tempted to be angry with my wife, "Membro silika ha shakala mehete." And she's probably praying the same thing. So love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place to shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others.
That's
Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. And that leads to my last point, and you can stand. My last point is this. You say, when's the blessing going to come? In due season, you're going to reap if you don't faint. I said in due season. While you're in Galatians 6:9, that's what it says there. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Amen. Do you ever get weary in well-doing? Pray in the Holy Ghost. He'll get charged. He'll supercharge you. Don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't faint. If you don't give up, if you don't faint, you're going to reap. I said never, never give up. Never give in. Never wave the right white flag of surrender, but continue to stand. And having done all to stand, stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth. Mark 11:23 says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. From the time that you pray to the time the manifestation comes, you got to continue to stand. Stand and expect. Our guest speaker, what did he say? He says we're going to see acceleration. He says we're going to see surprises. We're going to see reward for your sacrifice. So continue to stand. Don't give up. Don't give in. Praise God. And Luke, what's it say in Luke? Or no, I'm sorry, Ephesians 6:8. It says, whatever you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Whatever you make happen for others, God is going to make happen for you. Hallelujah. That's a reward for your sacrifice. Do you believe it today? He says, occupy till I come. So when you're at the fellowships out there at the pavilion, the ice cream fellowship Wednesday night, or in the cafe, or on the streets, or at Applebee's restaurant, or at a car cruise, or at a plaza outreach, look for somebody that's not saved. Tell them about Jesus. Amen. Look for, and if they're saved, find out if they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And if they're not, get them filled so they can have the power. If they've already got both of those, then say, okay, we're going to disciple some people here today. We're going to give them some things that will help them be discipled. Hallelujah. Tell them to read Colossians and Ephesians to find out who they are in Christ. Find out what their position is in Christ. Find out what's in their inheritance. Praise God. Find out what's part of their covenant. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you'll have a healthy, well-balanced life. Bible says he's going to make Abraham a blessing. Why? So that he can be a blessing. He wants to make you a blessing so that you can be a blessing. Amen. You can expect to reap. Don't look at the natural. Payday is a coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say payday is Friday. Payday is Friday. But it's only Sunday. But payday is coming, right? Amen. You just got to wait 5 days to get it. Amen. Everybody say, turn to your neighbor and tell them payday is coming. Payday is coming. Hallelujah. So don't be idle. Be productive. Fulfill a purpose in your life. You'll be happier. Expect to reap. How many are expecting to reap? Yes. Hallelujah. Reap a harvest. Yes. Woo! Glory to God. Come on, let's praise him for it today. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Oh, let's just go out praising God this morning. And if you're not saved, out there watching, say, you're a little bit wild, Pastor. That's all right. I'm feeling good. Amen. Pray this prayer with me. Everybody pray this prayer. Those of you watching, those of you here, let's all pray it. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart, Jesus ratified a new covenant in his own blood. I receive Jesus as my personal Lord, as my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me of all my past sins. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for a first-class plan for my life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now let's give Jesus a hand this morning. Oh, let's praise Him as we go. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Sorry about that.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you're home. God, let's sing it one more time. The everlasting God, you do not faint, you do not faint. You won't grow weary. Yes, you're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You live up on wings like eagle. From everlasting to everlasting, God you are, God you are everlasting.
Yes, you are, Lord. You're the defender of us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. We just rejoice what you're doing in our hearts, Lord. We lay every issue at the cross, Lord. We all have issues, but we lay them at your feet this morning. And we thank you that you are working on us as we surrender to you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Have a great week and a day. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.